everyone, and thanks for listening to my podcast. I've renamed the podcast Entertainment Mixed with Betty. I also want to say that I am so sorry that I've been gone for so long. I've been trying to figure out what to talk about, and I've decided to start with Lord of the Rings. Now, I am no expert, and I'll probably get some things wrong, but you can ask anyone who knows me. You can ask my family, everybody. I can talk your ear off about Lord of the Rings. Or anything Tolkien, really. I have read The Hobbit. I've read the Lord of the Rings trilogy. And I have read Silmarillion. I read Silmarillion once. I struggled to get through it. That said, though, I know a little bit about it. I've also been watching some YouTube videos here lately just to get familiar with the subject. I love the movies. Now, that's a controversial subject because, you know, some people don't like the movies. If you're a diehard fan of the books, you don't like the movies because Peter Jackson changed so much. I love both. You know, I can love both for what they are. You know, the books are awesome because Tolkien, let's face it, without him, we wouldn't have the movies. So you've got to love the movies. You've got to appreciate the books. You've got to appreciate the books for what they are. They are phenomenal works of art, really. But the movies are also in a league of their own because they started, I mean, those movies started the groundwork for the way we watch movies today. I mean, they were made 20 years ago. Peter Jackson used methods in those movies that, you know, they weren't using before those movies were done. You know, he started making those movies with technology that they use today. Now, he didn't start CGI. That came from Jurassic Park. You know, that was the first movie to use CGI. But he was the first one, I think, to actually use motion capture with Gollum. So, but I'm going down a tangent on that. I don't want to get into that right now. I want to really focus this episode of the podcast. I want to focus on J.R.R. Tolkien. Because, like I said, let's face it, without him, we wouldn't have a lot of the fantasy fiction we have today. He inspired George R.R. Martin. He inspired J.K. Rowling. He inspired anybody who has written a fantasy fiction novel series or anything was inspired by J.R.R. Tolkien. I mean, he is the grandfather of this fantasy fiction writing. So with all of that being said, I want to read y'all a piece of his Wikipedia. And then I want to just get into talking about him and how he's influenced my life. So it says, John Ronald Reuel Tolkien was an English writer, poet, philologist, and academic best known as the author of the high fantasy works The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings. He served as the Rawlinson and Bosworth Professor of Anglo-Saxon and Fellow of Pembroke College, Oxford, from 1925 to 1945, and the Merton Professor of English Language and Literature and Fellow of Merton College, Oxford, from 1945 to 1959. He was a close friend of C.S. Lewis, a co-member of the informal literary discussion group, the Inklings. Tolkien was appointed a commander of the Order of the British Empire by Queen Elizabeth II on 28th March 1972. After Tolkien's death, his son Christopher published a series of works based on his father's extensive notes and unpublished manuscripts, including The Silmarillion. These, together with The Hobbit, The Lord of the Rings, form a connected body of tales, poems, fictional histories, invented languages, and literary essays about a fantasy world called Arda, and within it, Middle-earth. Between 1951 and 1955, Tolkien applied the term legendarium to the larger part of these writings. While many other authors have published works of fantasy before Tolkien, the greatest success of The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings led directly to a popular resurgence of the genre. This has caused Tolkien to be popularly identified as the father of modern fantasy literature, or more precisely, of high fantasy. All right, so that's just the introduction to his Wikipedia page. If y'all want to, you know, learn more about him, go read that Wikipedia page. And there's also video on YouTube about his life. I'm going to probably share a link in the description to that video. The reason I don't want to get into too much about him, you know, specifically is because, you know, I want to talk about how he's influenced my life. And also, like I said, I am no expert and I don't want to get any facts wrong because, you know, he deserves more recognition, and I don't want to get any of the facts wrong, and I'm a little intimidated about really tackling this subject, but anyways, so I'm going to make a confession right now. I was introduced to the Tolkien world through the movies, you know. Actually, my husband and I, when we were just best friends, we weren't even dating yet, we went and seen The Fellowship of the Ring together. And I could have went with anybody, but I chose to go with my husband because he was my best friend at the time. So these movies, not only, or these books too, not only do they have, you know, literature and everything special to me, they also, they're special because, you know, I feel like it was the beginning of my husband and I's relationship when we went to see these movies together. And I don't know, it's just always held a special place in my heart. And it introduced me to the Tolkien world anyway. Anyway, Tolkien, after seeing these movies, I went and I bought everything I could find on this subject because I just loved The Fellowship of the Ring so much. So when I went and found all the books and stuff, that got me back into reading. You know, when in high school, I didn't really want to read, you know, and I was a typical teenager, you know, who likes to read at that age? I was more into boys and doing the things and stuff. So when I picked up the books, you know, this got me immersed into this world, and it just snowballed from there. Without Lord of the Rings, the books in particular, I wouldn't be reading half of the books I've read since then. I have read a whole bunch of literature. I read the Harry Potter books after Lord of the Rings. I read the Twilight novels, which, you know, I don't know. I owe a lot to the Twilight books too, because they got me into some of the other fantasy fiction stuff that I've read since Lord of the Rings too. I've also met some wonderful people through Twilight and through the Lord of the Rings. And if y'all have been following this podcast, y'all know that I was doing a series called Outlander, and I've read all, you know, not all of Diana Gabaldon's books, but I've read up to the sixth book, and without J.R.R. Tolkien, without Lord of the Rings, I probably would have never, you know, picked up any of these books. So, and like I said, I have met so many great people through my love of literature, through my love of these stories, and I really owe it all to Lord of the Rings, you know, through the books, not the movies, but the books, because the books got me reading again. Yeah, the movies, you know, they were great, but without the books, we wouldn't have movies, and without the movie, I wouldn't have started reading the books. I had heard about The Hobbit, you know, when I was younger, because there was a cartoon or something like that, but I didn't really understand it until 2001 when the movies came out. And I'm going to say this right now. Also, Elijah Wood got me into the movies. I had the biggest fangirl crush on Elijah Wood growing up. I'm the same age as him. Actually, I think I'm a year older than him. But, you know, I had loved him from The Flipper and, you know, all of that. Of course, I'm going down a tangent, and I'm really trying to stay focused on talking about J.R.R. Tolkien. But the great thing about this series of this franchise is you can't talk about one medium without talking about the other medium. You know, you have to talk about the movies as well, because like I said, the movies got me into the books, and the books got me into reading. So, and what got me into the movies, you know, I have to give a shout out to my boy, Elijah Wood. That being said, I love all of the Hobbits. I love Sam. I love Frodo, Merry, Pippin, Aragorn, Gandalf, you know, Christopher Lee as Saruman. And let's just talk about him for a second. He was one of the only actors on set. Actually, he was the only actor on set that knew or had met J.R.R. Tolkien. He actually had his blessing to play Gandalf if there was ever a movie adaptation made about it. And Christopher Lee really wanted to play Gandalf. But he even conceded that he would have been a better Saruman than a Gandalf. And he did phenomenal. And I don't want to get too much into that right now, but I have some things that when we get into the movies, I want to talk about all of that. But yeah, he was one of the only actors that actually knew or had, I don't think he knew him like, you know, they were best buddies or anything, but he had actually met him. So that's pretty neat. He had actually met J.R.R. Tolkien, of course, is what I'm saying. And as you can tell, I go down tangents. If you're just joining me because y'all are big fans of Lord of the Rings and y'all want to listen to me talk about Lord of the Rings, then I'm going to confess right now, I go down tangents. But if you've been listening to me in the past, you know that I go down tangents. And this is one of those times. Anyways, I'm trying to... Back to the main subject, J.R.R. Tolkien. He was a phenomenal author. He was a phenomenal man. His life story is actually interesting, just as much as his books. And, you know, like I said before, without him, we wouldn't have the fantasy fiction we have today. That's another book series that I read, too, was the Harry Potter books, which a lot of people... You know, they say that Voldemort's Horcruxes was influenced by the ring because, you know, Sauron, he poured his soul into the ring and, you know, his life essence was in that ring. So it was basically the first Horcrux, you know. I mean, you destroy all the Horcruxes, you kill Voldemort. Well, if you destroy the ring, what happens to Sauron, you know? Anyway, another tangent, let's just get into that. I mean, I guess we could segue into that. The books, this story, I mean, you know, I don't know if y'all know, I don't think I mentioned it before, but J.R.R. Tolkien, he was a World War I veteran, and a lot of the fiction that he wrote, you can see parallels from Frodo steps up as a young hobbit and volunteers to take the ring. You know, he doesn't have to, but he does it as a sense of duty to save the world, you know. And that's kind of like our American soldiers or soldiers period. I'm sorry, not just American, but soldiers period. They have to do, you know, they volunteer most of the time, unless they were drafted, they volunteer their services. And let me take a minute right here. I want to thank each and every serviceman who has protected my rights and my freedom. I just want to thank y'all for your service, because that's another thing too I want to do in the future, is I want to cover the Band of Brothers story, because that was another big TV series or big thing that came out at the same time Lord of the Rings did. And I had just recently watched the whole series of Band of Brothers over the summer. And I wanted to, you know, maybe talk about that a little bit too. Not right now, but in the future, we may come up to that. Because, you know, World War II was something we should never forget. You know, we never need to forget any of our servicemen, including J.R.R. Tolkien. He fought for you know, our freedoms that we take advantage of today. He was a World War I veteran. Anyways, another tangent. So his literature reflects what he did, you know, as being a soldier himself, you know. And, you know, after the ring is destroyed in Mount Doom, and Frodo and the hobbits come back to the Shire, and of course they fight off Saruman, and, you know, they save the Shire, but they don't save it for Frodo, you know, because he come back and he wasn't whole after that. You know, he got stabbed on the top of Weathertop in the Fellowship of the Ring, and that wound never healed. But he was also mentally, he didn't come back the same little hobbit that he was when he set out. And so I always kind of felt like Frodo's tale was a little tragic, and it really did remind me of the things that our veterans go through. You know, they go to war and they fight for our freedoms, and then they come back not the same person that they were when they left. And so, you know, a lot of Tolkien's experiences you can see reflected inside the story that he told through Lord of the Rings. It's a little bittersweet, you know? But anyways, so anyway, that's that story. And, you know, Tolkien, and he was a devout Catholic and he was a Christian, you know? So a lot of his storytelling, you can see that seep through good versus evil and things. So he was just a phenomenal, phenomenal storyteller. Because like I said, without him, we wouldn't have the stories we have today. You could probably ask any author today, who was your biggest inspiration? And they may not say Tolkien right off the bat, but he's going to be in that list of inspirational literature, you know. The man, you know, he wrote those four books, you know, the three Lord of the Rings and then The Hobbit. Plus, he came up with his own language. He came up with, you know, this whole world. I've got maps and I've got, you know, books and all kinds of things just from his inspiration, from his work in my library of Lord of the Rings content. So he just built this vast world, you know, the Silmarillion. It wasn't published in his lifetime, but it was based off of a lot of his notes. His son published it. His son edited it and put it together, but it was his notes that put that together. So there's a whole world, there's a whole legendarium. If you haven't read his books, I would recommend starting with The Hobbit and then reading The Fellowship and then The Two Towers, The Return of the King. And then if you're still hungry for more, go to The Silmarillion. Now, with Silmarillion, don't expect it to be a straight-through novel. The best way I can describe The Silmarillion is it's kind of like the Bible for Middle Earth. So it's a little bit harder to get through. But I'm actually listening to it on Audible, which might be easier just to get better at it. I had read through it before and I struggled. I believe I said that at the beginning of this recording. I had struggled to get through it when I first read it. Now that I'm reading it or listening to it on Audible, which, by the way, is not sponsored, I wish. But listening to it is helping me understand it better. And also, there are tons, and I mean tons, and I have been binge-watching YouTube videos. People are so brilliant with this subject, and there are so many videos out there that will help you understand what you're reading better or listening to even. They're helping me a lot. So, and I learned so much, even with, you know, about Tolkien himself, you know, there's so much out there. So go to YouTube and find all that stuff. Go to Wikipedia and read about him. And like I said, if you're going to tackle his book, start with The Hobbit, then read The Fellowship, Two Towers, Return of the King. And then, you know, if you're still hungry for more, read The Silmarillion. And then there are more after that, too. But yeah, I guess I'm going to wrap this up because I could go on and on and on. But yes, Tolkien was a very great author. He has inspired me to read more. He's inspired me to do this. Yeah, and I hope y'all enjoyed listening to me ramble on about all of this. And in the next episode, we'll talk about the books and then go into the movies a little bit deeper. So that's going to do it for this episode. If y'all are listening to this off of YouTube, click the like and subscribe button. Do all those things. I am going to put this on Anchor, you know, the usual place, and it'll be on all the places where y'all get y'all's podcasts from. That's going to do it. And thanks for listening, everybody.